Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and our God is in the miracle working business. Praise God. I'm so glad you joined me today. This is Sister Glass, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast, and we're going to continue right on in a message I began on yesterday's broadcast entitled, All Things Are Become New. That's true for every child of God, and the wonderful thing, it occurs not only at the moment of our new birth, but it's an ongoing daily experience. What does the scripture say? All things are become new. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. Therefore, if any man, don't you love how inclusive that is? Rich, poor, young, old, it doesn't matter, male, female, Jew or Greek. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And as I said before, what does that mean? It means all things. Sometimes we make the Word of God very complicated, but when possible, we need to, there's a lot of symbolism in the Word of God, but most of the time, and when we can take it literally, that's the way we should take it. And it means not just some things, it means all things are become new. So we were talking about when the Lord comes into our lives, we have a new nature. We are born again. It's a spiritual resurrection. In Ephesians 2:1, it says, and you have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. So we literally become a new creature. Colossians, the second chapter, verses 11 and 12 says, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, we are buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him, Jesus, from the dead. And so this is what we may not even understand it fully, but it's really the greatest miracle of the universe, the new birth. I mean, when we see the miracles that we read of in the Bible, you know, the Red Sea standing on end, you know, the people of Israel walking across on dry ground, the Jordan, the plagues of Egypt, all those were incredible miracles. You know, the miracle of water in the wilderness, Moses struck the rock, and then, he should have spoken to the rock the second time. Water gushed out. God fed them with manna. Their clothes didn't wear out. I mean, He's a God of miracles, and He's still the same today. You might say, well, I sure haven't seen many miracles. Well, the greatest miracle is the transformation of the human character, I believe, the human personality, that we who were like the people of the world, we were once what? Adulterers and thieves and mockers and just like the world, yet He can transform us. And of course, He also does great, what is a miracle? It's the cessation or cessation, I guess you would say, of natural laws. You know, that's what happened when Jesus walked on the water. You know, normally you can't walk on water, and certainly Peter could not, and yet he did because of faith, and because the realm of the Spirit, the laws of the spiritual kingdom of God are really, they supersede that of the natural law. But generally, because God's a God of order, we don't see a lot of suspension of the natural laws, but as He wills, it can occur. So He is, you know, you don't have any problems that a miracle from God can't solve. He specializes in things called impossible. Oh, there was, you know, Brother Glass was such a wonderful, he had such a wonderful voice. He was just an amazing preacher. For those of you who still might remember, he went home to be with the Lord in 1997, but God gave him a beautiful voice, and he would sing some of the old hymns. And what was that old one? you don't have any rivers that are uncrossable, you don't have any mountains you can't tunnel through. God specializes in things called impossible. He can do what no other can do. Praise God. So we're talking about all things are become new. So this new birth, it's a spiritual resurrection. It's also described in the Word of God as a circumcision of the heart. Deuteronomy 30:6 says, "And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed," your offspring, your children, "to love the Lord thy God." That's a good, you know, those of you who are waiting, believing God for the salvation of children, hang on to that scripture. That's Deuteronomy 30:6. "The Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live." Romans 2:29 says, "But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and not in the letter." In other words, not just, you know, circumcision was a physical sign in the flesh, the physical flesh of the Jews, of their covenant with God. But the Lord says that now he's going, and he said through Jeremiah, he would circumcise the heart. He would write his laws upon the heart of those who love him. Praise God. So, it's a resurrection, this new birth. There's a circumcision of the heart that occurs. We become a new creation. Ephesians 2:10 says, is this so beautiful? We are his workmanship. That's why, you know, he gets really upset when we put ourselves down. And I know some of you are listening, you're better at putting yourself down than the enemy is. I mean, you can just beat yourself over the head. Oh, you're so stupid. You never do anything right. And why? Well, because perhaps the enemy started at a really young age, maybe in the home with parents, with friends, to put you down, to make you feel that you were stupid or you weren't as accomplished as anyone else, or you couldn't do that. You know, I had no intention of going into ministry. Really, when I got saved, I remember Brother Glass was preaching a powerful message, and I thought, well, what could I do? I thought, well, I knew I'm German, I can clean. That's how I started, cleaning the church, cleaning the toilets, and I had no aspirations. I had no idea of what God had planned for me. I probably would have run in stark terror out the door, but God was gracious. He just, you know, he got a hold of me, and I didn't know what was happening. So, you know, I had no aspirations. I mean, I've always would feel, even sometimes to this day, you know, someone could do it better than I. And you know what? That's probably true. Someone could do better on the broadcast than I do. Someone can, you know, handle the correspondence ministry better than I. But you know what? God didn't call them to do that. He called me. So, whatever it is that God's called you to do, don't you deprecate yourself. Don't you put yourself down. Don't you agree with the enemy. You are God's masterpiece. He spent a lot of time before the foundation of the earth. He was thinking about you while he was on the cross. You were on his mind. And so, when we really get a hold of this, I mean, it hardly creates pride. If anything, it so humbles ourselves, doesn't it? It humbles me. It's like, oh, how could he love such a one as me? You know, and remember when Jacob was wrestling with the angel, he was praying, he said, you know, I'm not worthy, Lord, of the least of your mercies. Remember, just as he was getting ready to face his brother Esau, who was, you know, bound and bent and determined to kill him years before. But look how God undertook. They embraced one another, and even with that troop of 400 men, which Jacob was afraid that he was going to kill them all, God miraculously showed restoration and healing, at least for that moment in time. So, beloved, we are a new creation. Let's go on. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship. That's where I got left off. We're his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus. Why did he do it? Well, he created us unto good works, which God hath before ordained we should walk in them. That's his plan for us. Galatians 6:15 says, For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. You know, I truly believe, you know, there's no Jew nor Greek. And my belief is that we're not Gentile in Christ. We're not Jew. There are many that are trying to be Jewish. You know what? It's a new creature, something that's not existed before. We are the children of God, an entirely new species. We're not Jew and we're not Greek. And I'm not going to pursue that. But the point is, if you have ears to hear, in Christ, we are a new creature. Let me give that scripture again. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, the things of the Jewish old covenant, availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, you know, the way the Gentiles have conducted themselves, even believing in God. We are a new creature. Praise God. One new man. That's what God's creating. And then there's still more, beloved. Oh, I just have all these wonderful scriptures to share with you. He's given us a new heart. Ezekiel 36 and 26 says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. So he's giving us a soft, tender heart, not that stony, hard-hearted, a rebellious, stubborn nature, but a heart that longs after the things of God. He's given us a new spirit. It just gets better and better. I mean, just look at all these things. All things are made new. Wow, become new. Praise God. A new spirit. Romans 6 and 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Amen. Isn't that exciting? Praise God. And then finally, I'd like to share, we are partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1 and 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Praise God. So these are all the things that happen to us with a new birth. And on tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to look at what that change produces in us. And I hope you can be with me. And if at any time you miss a broadcast, just go to unveilchrist.org, our website, click on the podcast, and they're all archived there for several years. So praise God. Well, beloved, I love you. And you know what? I so look forward to hearing from you. If the Holy Spirit's moving on you, just drop me a note. Let me know you're being blessed by the broadcast, or if you have prayer needs, I'd love to pray with you. There's power in agreeing prayer. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh, baby.